As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome in to the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding, back with another edition, our 68th show of the Rusty Satellite Show of shows, and another great show packed with a couple of really cool guests, and a lot of things been happening in my life and the life of my hometown, Louisville, Kentucky, this week. So I want to get right to it. First, I want to tell you, in the second half of the show, I've had a couple of guests related to beer here lately, but this one, sort of takes the foam off the top of your beer, if you prefer. But Tish Ganey is she works for the folks who own Buckheads and Rockies, and she has created a beer app that you can pull up on your phone, and it is just fascinating how much information is there. I want you to stick around for the second part of the show, and believe it or not, for the first time, we have a giveaway here on the Rusty Satellite Show. So stay tuned. Right before we introduce Tish, I'll tell you how to win a big prize from the Rusty Satellite Show. So that's going to be great, but first, my first guest, I tell you, I went to the basketball tip-off luncheon at the Marriott downtown this week to hear what Rick Pitino had to say. What a outstanding speaker Rick is. I'm just amazed. You know, in my life in business, I go around, I see a lot of people speak in public. I see a lot of people look down at their notes. I see a lot of people who get up on a stage behind a microphone and read. It's like, in my view, the worst thing you can do if you want to keep an audience is to read from a script or read from a PowerPoint or something. But I tell you, you really admire a guy like Rick Pitino who, you believe he prepares and he has things to say, but he makes it appear that he doesn't. He's really flawless. He's funny, and he just really seems happy, and he's happy about this team he's got this year. The master of ceremonies at that event was a guy named Sean Moth, who is my first guest today. And Sean, again, is a great speaker. He is trained, as you'll hear, in speaking and performing in public, and you can tell. You can tell when you're around him. He has a contagious enthusiasm for his job and his work, and he's busy. There is a lot more. This isn't a guy who just shows up 5 minutes before the game at Papa John's and starts talking into the microphone. You might know, I'm sure you know his voice if you've been around U of L at all. We talk about his patented call at football games. You know, he's the guy that started, and that's another Cards First Down, and I got a little hint from Sean about maybe a way to spice up things here on the Rusty Satellite Show. It's always good to round a professional. I've learned you should always try to get some advice. So that's what I did. So listen up. Here is our interview. I went over to the U of L Student Activity Center, and Sean was there. And you know, it's a pretty nice job. He's from Colorado, and explained that this is the way we dress when we go to work in Colorado. He's wearing shorts and some tennis shoes in late October. So, but he's a very engaging guy, and I really enjoyed getting the chance to meet him. Here's my interview with Sean Moth. Today I'm over on the U of L campus with somebody you've probably heard but haven't seen, Sean Moth. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me.
All right. Let's get right to some of the things. People know you and your voice. So you've got certainly you're not born that way. You hone your skill to do all these voices that get people excited at ball games, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. My background initially was through the performing arts. I sang in choir, performed in show choirs, did a lot of theater and musical theater, sang in an a cappella quartet, even took a semester of college off and sang professionally for a while, kind of living life on the road. And that transferred into majoring in communications in college, and that kind of worked its way into radio. I did radio before I ever did public address at any point in my career, and did play-by-play for high school football and basketball, did a lot of stuff in terms of talk shows and that at Colorado State University in my hometown of Fort Collins, Colorado. And then that kind of evolved into working for some professional teams in Denver and eventually here at U of L.
Eventually here. And now, as much as anybody I know, I think you appear on the outside like you really enjoy your job and your work and talking about U of L all the time.
I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't. You know, you've got to love what you do. And what's really great is I get to be around individuals that have really specific goals. They work really hard, and they're 18 to 22 years old, and really the most important formative years of their lives. And it sounds kind of silly and cliche, but I'm 44 years old. My son just turned 17. He's about to get to that point. I come to work every day, and I get to see young people that, like I said, they're working hard. They're trying to win championships. They're trying to get degrees. They're trying to get out in the community, trying to make themselves better people, meeting future wives, future husbands, planning a career. And so it's fun to have an impact on their lives and be a part of that. And while there's the glitz and glamour of people hearing my voice and seeing the productions we put on at games and that, ultimately everybody in our office comes to work every day wanting to make sure that these individuals have every opportunity to succeed. And that's fun. It's very gratifying.
Sure, sure. And I'm sure it takes I know I've been on a college campus before, and I know it's fun to be around, but ultimately, even you must get excited like the players do. We have Florida State coming up in a week and a half. Does your approach to a big game, is it any different than any other game?
I try not to let it be, but I think inevitably you can't help but see that it's a little different stage. I like to think that I prepare for the exhibition against Barry University for the men's basketball team the same way I'm going to prepare for Florida State. But I think maybe there's maybe a little extra focus. I know that the Miami game, because there was so many things going on, that it took a few more meetings, a few more game operations meetings, a little more planning, a little more honing things to be sure we executed well. And to compound that, it was the first game of the season. And sure. I joke with people. I'd literally lay in bed that night before the first football game in absolute fear that I'll forget the first down, because I haven't done a football game since November. And so, but, you know, the big games, that they are fun, and usually those are the ones that stick out. I've had the pleasure of being a part of so many amazing events here at U of L.
And you have some distinctive phrases, like everybody tries to develop. And I guess you got to try those out and see if they catch on. Is like, you know, the another card's first down thing. That's what a lot of people know is unusual about this place. How did that evolve? I mean, is that something that you brought from somewhere else?
I would love to take credit for it. I actually have heard other campuses do that prior to something similar. And if you watch games on TV, you can kind of hear, and maybe flatteringly enough, some of those have evolved from us doing it, but there were certainly teams before us that did it. And I came to Louisville wanting to be sure that I wasn't a part of the game that mattered, but I was helping make the experience better for the fans and helping give the team every opportunity to win. And when the crowd is engaged, the team feeds off of that. And I think the Cards first down progressed really nicely. I have to tip my cap to Todd Sharp and the Spirit Groups because they helped make me not sound like a complete idiot at that first game. And the marching band
if
also.
If you do it by yourself, nobody goes along.
You're exactly right. And I had to say it those first few times, but the marching band and the cheers and the Ladybirds, and I know the student body embraced it. Well, actually, the first year I came, I tried to bring something the Denver Broncos did, the incomplete, on the defensive side of things, and it just didn't take hold. And so you've got to read the audience. You've got to understand what's working. And we decided, you know what, the incomplete's not working, but they like the first down, so we'll stick with that. And I think it's fun that it's kind of been – it's become a bit of a tradition here at U of L.
Sure. Now, I went to the tip-off luncheon with Rick Pitino the other day, and he had some good-natured interaction with you. And I'm just wondering about your relationship with the coaches. Pitino comes in. Did you have to alter anything you do at football games from Charlie Strong to Bobby Pitino?
There have been very few coaches that have really had any input on what I do or how I say things. I think there have just been maybe a suggestion or a request here and there. I think there was a football coach that maybe wanted me to kind of back off on the nicknames, and I'm willing to do whatever they request. But, you know, I have had the privilege of working with coaches of all 23 of our sports. I actually hosted coaches shows for all of our sports with the exception of football, men's and women's basketball for a time on Cards TV through our web, and so I've gotten to know our Olympic sports coaches extremely well. I actually was the TV host for Charlie Strong's coaches show during last season, his last season here, so I got to know him. But you know, Rick's been phenomenal to work with. He's very creative, very clever, and has great ideas that we implement into our game operations. And, you know, when somebody fouls out of a game and we play Hit the Road Jack, that was on his recommendation. So he's keenly aware of things, but in the same light, as much as I respect him as a coach and I would no sooner think of suggesting anything to him, I think he takes the same approach with our staff.
Well, he obviously he seems personally interested in everybody around him, I guess. It sounds like you're getting on the workout program that Coach Johnson is on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. we're going to get on that right away. So we all know I need it, that's for sure.
Well, you know, Pitino seems like a great guy to hang around and work with, of course. So you've told me that just in this brief time you've done stuff with every sport, you've done announcing. You know, it's not just Yum Center and Bob Jones Cardinal Stadium. You're all over the map here at U of L, right?
Yeah, one of the things I do that I probably enjoy more than anything else is just be part of the creative team to kind of brainstorm ideas. And we've had some fun holiday videos that we've done in the past that I've been a big part of. We've had some fun campaigns. The blackout t-shirts for Miami with the BLACC was an idea that I helped develop. The L1C4 hashtag, I was in on the meetings that helped develop that. So it been in the inner workings of that. One of my more memorable moments here at U of L was standing on the rooftop in a blizzard of the NCAA soccer game against UCLA, which was just a tremendous game. We scored a game-winning goal with under a minute to go to the College Cup, and I was on the microphone for the call, the webcast of that. I've been able to experience three College World Series as the radio voice of the baseball team. And in addition to that, I work with many of our great media partners in advertising and making sure that the good fans know when we're in action, where we're in action, how they can get tickets.
Right. And you were just telling me you have some new duties, I guess, recently developed, having to do with advertising, right?
No question. Yeah.
You want to be a sponsor of Cardinal Athletics?
Yeah,
you're the guy.
We work with virtually all the local radio stations and print entities and TVs and billboards. And it's funny because the advertising budget is certainly a big part of things, but the dawn of social media has really made things unique because there's no blueprint for social media on how to do it the right way. When I got here, there was no such thing. Mm-hmm. And now it's something that you can utilize that doesn't cost you a nickel, yet you can reach, I mean, our account, as an example, is, I think, over 200,000 people on Facebook. So we could, at the click of a button, reach 200,000 fans without spending a nickel. So it's really interesting how factoring social media in has been to a game plan or an attack in terms of preparing for something.
It's really, I know it takes a lot of planning. I know I've talked to Nick Stover about this. I mean, I was at the luncheon the other day, and I just thought it was interesting that Patino said that the football team was going to be Florida State. So I tweeted that out, and I've got like, you know, 100 people from UK, you know, giving me grief about it.
There are no secrets. There are no secrets anymore. And I've actually given speeches to our student athletes on how to utilize social media and how to be careful with that. You know, when you and I were in college, if we decided we wanted to go to the corner bar and have maybe a few too many and jump up on the bar and dance around, then 15, 20 people might see it, and maybe another 15 or 20 might hear about it at class on Monday, but it ended there.
There were no photos.
And now, if I do that, there's going to be a video posted online that's going to go viral in a matter of an hour. So there are certainly things you need to be cautious about, and it really is fun to see how people interact and how that immediacy is there.
Yeah, certainly. Now, okay, we're about to wrap up here, but you know, let me just end with this. Now, you and I are just talking this. You have like a normal voice here, right? We're just having a conversation. Nobody would know if they didn't know who you were that you turn it on, you know, for the PA, and you got this big exciting voice that you come on. So just to put you on the spot, how would you put your announcer voice on to say the Rusty Satellite Show is on?
Well, maybe if I were able to do some billboards or that for you, I could say, coming up after this 60-second break, please join us for the Rusty. You know, we'd come up with a catchphrase. If we just go with the show title, I think we'd need to spice it up.
I need help with that. I'd be glad.
We'll get the creative team on that.
That's good.
But I like the Rusty Satellite Show. But I think we'd spruce it up a little bit. Maybe give you a nickname. Maybe give you an alter ego.
Well, so I've got this. The most interesting people in the Ville thing. So.
Oh, I like that. We'll go with that.
Go with that.
Meet the most interesting people in the Ville on the Rusty Satellite Show.
There you go.
I like it, yeah. We could go with that.
All right, well, let's get fired up for Florida State. Okay, the football team's off this weekend. You just kicking around and get your feet up, watching football on TV?
I wish. ESPN3 play-by-play on Friday night for men's soccer against Clemson, looking to try to capture an ACC regular season title. And then Sunday, we've got another basketball scrimmage at 2 o'clock. So Saturday, I will be watching college football, but the rest of the weekend is devoted to work, and that's athletics. You know that as well as I do.
I sure do. Well, Sean, really appreciate you taking a few minutes out to talk to me on the Rusty Satellite Show, and we will be back in a moment.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. 578-0603 and choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And a big thank you to Sean Moth, a very entertaining guy, and enjoyed talking with him in person, and certainly enjoy his work at the UofL football games at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. He does a lot of other stuff around UofL, as you can see. Well, this is the part of the Rusty Satellite Show where I talk about some things going on in my life that might affect you, or that I just think are interesting and entertaining for you. And you know, we have an election coming up. It's evident if you drive down any road and you see all those signs for judges and Metro Council candidates and all those people. I certainly want to point out that one race in particular I'm looking at is my friend Nick Simon is running. He was a guest on here a few weeks ago for state representative in my neighborhood out in J-Town and Hikes Point, etc. That's going to be an interesting race. I wish Nick the best of luck there, and certainly encourage you to become an informed voter and get out there and learn about the candidates. One way, and I want to tell you, I want to give credit to the Courier Journal here, which is really the only local media organization that's paying much attention to the races, you know, down the ballot. Everybody knows what's going on with Allison Grimes and Mitch McConnell. And I talked to you last week about how she wouldn't say who she voted for president, really lost confidence in her. A poll came out, by the way, in that race that said it was dead even, which I still got my doubts that that Grimes is going to give McConnell a very close race. But we'll see. I think she's got a lot of help. But there was an article by Andy Wolfson in the Courier Journal. I just want to point out about the district judge races. And now, these races, they're very difficult to run because you run countywide. You vote in every one of them. And these district judge candidates don't have much budget to work with. So they do a lot of yard signs, et cetera. But it's interesting when you find out the sort of story behind the scenes. And a lot of the races, they're very interesting this year, and they're sort of an attempt to manipulate them, I think, by County Attorney Michael Connell, who has encouraged his prosecutors to run against incumbents on the court. O'Connell has a sort of interesting past. He's had some conflict with some of the judges. I know we had Stephanie Pierce Burke, who certainly I'm supporting in her race, was on this show and told us about some of the things O'Connell's doing. It makes me want to vote against all of his candidates, to be honest with you. But there's a bunch of intriguing stories behind those. I would encourage you to read the headline on this story is Prosecutors Bid Spice Up District Judge Races. And talks about some of the, some of these candidates have real problems with ethics. One, a judge, James Green, lost in 1999. It says he struggled with substance abuse, says he's been sober for several years, and he's running against a guy named Eric Hayner, who is also an investor in Theater Square Marketplace. But, Green's been involved in a years-long child support dispute with his ex-wife, and he finally, because the election is coming up, wrote a check to make that problem go away. Certainly, he's not getting my vote. Sandy McLaughlin is another one that you ought to pay attention to. She is been the subject of numerous stories in the Courier about her attitude toward defendants in her court, and she's just not very nice. And we'll see how that one turns out. So next week we have a political guest that you're really going to want to listen to. Stay tuned for, and I'm looking forward to that. So that's just a little tease for you. I did mention that I saw Rick Pitino speak this week at the tip-off luncheon at the downtown Marriott. And one of the things that Rick said I thought was really interesting. I don't do a lot with Twitter. And, I'm pretty big in social media. I've got a lot of followers on Twitter and on Facebook. But Pitino said early in his speech, Pitino, unlike I think most big-time coaches, he's really supportive of the university in general. He said some great things about Coach Jeff Walls of the women's team. He talked about the university and Tom Jurich, and he said that he believes that this football game coming up a week from Thursday against Florida State, that the U of L is going to win that game against what could be the number one, certainly a top two or three team in the country. And I thought that was remarkable. I got pulled out my phone. I tweeted, Pitino guarantees U of L football win over Florida State. And interesting, that got picked up by Kentucky Sports Radio, which is maybe the biggest media outlet in the state. And just I got more reaction on Twitter than I ever had for that one little comment. I just thought it was interesting. A lot of U of L haters out there. A lot of people apparently take to Twitter to take out their frustrations about Rick Pitino. But I think Pitino is he's got a good team. It's basketball season. We're trying to get all excited about it. As you heard Sean Moth say, we're getting pumped up for the football game. But I really like Pitino as a coach, and he's really overcome some adversity, and he's really among the best in the country. So I love it that he does these kind of public speaking. And he talked about coaching against his son in the first game, his son Richard at Minnesota. They're going to Puerto Rico. The two teams are traveling together on the plane down there. And Pitino made a joke. He said that's going to be fine, but depending on who wins, the ride back on the plane together with the two teams may or may not be, as much fun, I guess you would say. So anyway, that's one of the things I got to do this week. I'd like to point out to you a little project that I'm involved with my son, Luke, who's 16. He's a sophomore, a junior at Eastern High School. And he was assigned to do something for 30 days. And I talked about this last week. We were just getting started, but now we're 8 or 9 days into it. And I've got Luke Luke is not a writer, and although he is he is really intelligent and he has a lot to say, but I'm trying to get him convert that personality that I get from him onto his writing. And we're doing this journal, and it's on LouisvilleKY.com. I encourage you to go look at it. We're doing it every day for 30 days. So I'm writing a little journal and he's writing a little journal, and I'm trying to get him to quit saying how boring his life is. And that's the typical teenager thing, but it's not boring. Can you imagine being a teenager and all the things that you get to run into and do? But I guess he's so close to it, and he's not used to expressing himself this way. So I encouraged him to – I'm trying to coach him up a little bit on the writing thing. I keep trying to convince – he's into technology, and so is his brother Josh, who's a little bit older. I'm trying to convince him how important it is to be able to communicate by the written word, whether it's in emails or whatever, just because I do it and have these blogs and have all these places where my work appears in public. I still think it's really important, really, really important to communicate well, whether you're writing or speaking or whatever. So that's sort of what Luke and I are on. I encourage you to go to LouisvilleKY.com and take a look at our daily journal. And I've had some interesting things to talk about, like going to the dentist, and Luke's talked about who his friends are and all that. So one of the things I wrote about earlier this week was I've gotten an unusual opportunity, I think. There's this website called Airbnb, and it's a site like ride sharing sites, and this is a site where you can rent out your house to people who are coming in town for various reasons. I've had my house up on that for some time, but I finally got somebody in there this week, and so I'm homeless. I'm living down the street. My girlfriend Paula lives a mile away, and so I'm staying with her while this stranger stays at my house. And we spent last Sunday sort of fixing it up, cleaning it up, and it's been a really good experience. I really like it, and I like the check that I got as soon as he moved in. So it's Airbnb.com is the site. I just it's one of those internet things that anything you can imagine you can do on the internet, right? Anything that is possible. So I put an ad up on my sites about my Airbnb place. So if you got somebody coming into town from out of town, they need a place to stay, take a look at my place. It's out in J-Town, great location. And, I like it. I'm fortunately in a position where I have a place to go. And, my place is pretty nice. It's about 1,000 square foot home. It's private, secluded. It's got all the things you want. So anyway, that's my pitch for Airbnb. Hope you can check it out. There's an ad on LouisvilleKY.com. You can click on it and see it. But speaking of all the things you can do on the internet, I want to tell you about Tish Gainey, who is my next guest. She is the creator of this beer app. If you go to whatever your app store is, and type in Buckhead Mountain Grill, you get this app, and it does a lot of things. First of all, you can use it to – you can hook a credit card up to it, and you can pay your bill while you're in there. And they give you, like, goodies, I'm doing something like this with Thornton's. Thornton's really promoting their refreshing rewards program, and I can get a free Coke almost anytime I want because I get gas at Thornton's. The Buckhead thing, I think she told me you get $3 just for signing up. So that's there you go. I just bought you a beer at Buckhead by telling you to go to this thing and sign up. But what was really interesting to me is the depth of information about different beers available on that site. Tish put a lot of time and effort into this app where you can pick the level of, she showed me where you could, if you wanted a beer that had like bittersweet chocolate taste to it, you can find what beers at Buckhead have that in them. And the levels of alcohol, higher and lower, and light and beer, they've got the color of the beer. So I'm always confused when I go to places and I really don't know a lot about beer, but I'm willing to try them. And this seems like a great tool. You can put it on, you can do it on your phone or an iPad device, and you know everything there is to know about beer. So Tish has an interesting background. She's got a great education at Purdue and has traveled the country a bit, but now she's firmly ensconced in Louisville. I think she's from Southern Indiana, and I think you'll enjoy our talk. Before I start the interview, though, I want to tell you that I've got this contest. Tish gave me a $25 gift card to give away to a listener. So if you're listening and listen to the interview, and if you put the name of the beer that I told her that I like in the subject line and send me an email to rick@louisvilleky.com, first one to do that's going to I'll give you this $25 gift card to Buckhead. You can go out there and have a nice meal or a few beers. And enjoy yourself. So that's a contest, the first ever contest on the Rusty Satellite Show. Hope you do that, and hope you listen to Tish here on the interview. She's a very interesting young lady, and here it is.
Well, welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is today. I kind of feel guilty. I'm here at Buckhead's on Barstown Road with Tish Ganey. And she is an expert on craft beer, and here we sit drinking Diet Pepsi. Tish, what's wrong with this picture?
We don't have a beer in our hand. We've got 24 on tap, and we don't have a beer in our hand, so which is quite unfortunate at the moment.
Yeah, later on maybe we'll change drinks. But anyway, I wanted to get you on the show because I heard of your you have a sort of fascinating career. You know, you're from this area. I know you went to Purdue, and sort of pick me up from there, where, you know, because you've been to some far-flung places, and you're back.
Sure. Well, I keep coming back to Louisville. I've been back here for about the past 8 years. But after I graduated from Purdue, I went out to the West Coast, Portland, Oregon, lots of craft breweries. So that was kind of the big boom of the craft beer industry back then, very blossoming. But and I was working for a company, Customer Service, which I kind of regret a little bit leaving there when I did, because the company I was working for eventually became WebMD.com.
Oh, wow.
So that was a big thing, too.
So you're not a millionaire.
No, I'm not. No.
Stock options. I understand.
No. But I came back to the Louisville area, and I was a senior advertising coordinator for Paul Simon and Realtors, or Simon and Some Home Services.
Okay.
And then reconnected with an old friend and left for Orlando, Florida, and I was a Disney Imagineer for about 5 years. So
wow, and those guys, you get to go in and play all day, right?
Almost. Oh. So my job was a lot of playing. I got to build things. I was on the project team that built Lights, Motors, Action, Extreme Stunt Show. So from demolition to opening day, I worked with everybody from the construction crew to the entertainers and stunt people.
Okay. So. But then it always comes back to beer with you, right?
Then it came back to beer. So I wanted to move home, be closer to the family, getting a little bit older. And so there was a job opportunity as a craft beer sales rep on the Southern Indiana side. And I went up and I interviewed. And by the time I was done with the interview, they were showing me the warehouse and how the ordering system worked and everything.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, let's just talk a little bit in general about craft beer because... you know, I've been drinking beer a long time, but you know, the nuances. You know, I'm like the wine snob that doesn't really know anything about wine. What is the big difference between, you know, going in here and ordering a craft beer on tap here at Buckhead's and getting a bottle of Bud Light?
Well, I think it's a matter of taste and variety. So we have local beers, we also have regional beers, and we have some imports. We have 24 beers on tap. But if you go for a Bud Light is a Bud Light all day long. You're going to have a Bud Light that tastes the same here as you will anywhere else in the world. But if you get something local like Apocalypse, if you get their Atomic Amber, you're not going to be able to get that anywhere else outside of the state of Kentucky.
Okay.
But then you can have something like from Rogue that's from Oregon. You can have a Rogue Dead Guy, which is a nice lighter ale. It's actually a hybrid style ale.
I want that job coming up with the names for all these products.
Oh,
I would too.
That is a creative piece of the pie. So
I'll put you on the spot. What are some of the wildest names for beers people have come up with?
Oh my goodness.
I had one the other day with a fish on it, and it was called Two-Hearted? Two-Hearted, yeah.
Two-Hearted Ale, uh-huh.
Yeah.
We actually have that on draft right now.
Okay.
Two-Hearted Ales from Bell's. There's everything from Dead Guy. There's things to references that are not necessarily mainstream. Like, there's the 420 Pale Ale. There
right.
is everything from, you know, Safety Meeting.
Well, I guess it's the people that create the beers, and, you know, they want to put their stamp on it, I guess.
Right.
And you know, it's part of the fun of it is getting to come up with a name, right?
Absolutely.
I think Rusty Satellite Beer would be a good...
I think that would be a good... A satellite ale. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I actually went to Sierra Nevada Beer Camp, and... sitting around the room, that was probably the hardest thing that we came up with, was trying to come up with a common name that everybody agreed on
uh-huh.
with our beer camp. It ended up being Solar Storm IPA,
mm-hmm.
But I wanted to call it CSIPA because it was an experimental hop that didn't have a name to it. So just something kind of quirky and funny.
So how do you become an expert in craft beer like you are? And tell me a little bit about what your job is here in town, because it sounds really cool.
Okay. How do you become an expert? I think drinking, sampling a lot.
Mm-hmm. If that were the case, I'd have your job.
but it's also paying attention.
I don't do that.
So one great way for any novice to learn is to start journaling. Write down what you taste, what flavors you taste, and also read a lot. So,
okay.
you know, educate yourself.
Okay.
But as far as what I do here, I do a beer 101 class, or it's called Cheers 101, that I do with servers. I teach them everything from the differences of what are the four main ingredients in beer to what's the difference between an IPA and a stout. So
okay.
certain characteristics.
So when you ask your waiter questions about the beers, if they've gone through your class, they'll have a halfway coherent answer. Right?
Hopefully if they paid attention in class. But they should know the difference between ABV and IBU. ABV, alcohol by volume, IBU, international bitterness units. So
okay.
some IBUs is something that a lot of people are not aware of, but how bitter a beer is. A lot of people don't like bitter beers or those hoppy beers. So the higher the number, the more bitter the beer is going to be. The lower the number, not so bitter.
Wow. Okay. So all these beers, I guess, are rated in that way.
Yes.
Well, help me out, because I'm always going to bars and trying to think up something cool to order.
Uh-huh.
And I always end up going with what do you got that's close to a Blue Moon?
Okay.
You know,
so you like wheat ales.
I see the bartenders cringe when I say that.
Well, if you came to me and said, what do you have closest to a wheat ale, I would steer you in the direction of other wheat ales. So probably take you into a German wheat.
Mm-hmm.
So where your Blue Moon has your orange and coriander, a little bit of sweetness, it's not bitter at all.
Okay.
Your German wheat ales are going to have a little bit of banana and clove and a little bit of black pepper. Your Belgian wheats are going to have, again, more towards that orangey flavor, or American wheats. It's very mild and malty.
Yeah.
A little bit of that cereal taste to it.
Yeah.
So
I thought that Blue Moon did great marketing, because I always thought that it was like some fancy Belgian beer. And then I went out to Colorado, and I went through the Coors plant out there, and I found out, oh, well, they make it.
Yes.
Right here. And, you know,
they do.
Sort of a come down, I guess.
And actually, well, Blue Moon originally started as a craft beer. It was brewed at the Coors Stadium. It was called the Sandlot Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Very small brewery, and they actually do some fantastic beers. They still brew some beers there that you can't find anywhere else. So if you're ever back out there, it's worth stopping back by.
Okay.
As well as the other hundreds of breweries that are in Denver, Colorado. So
right, that's a big hot spot. But Louisville's becoming a big spot for brewing beer. So you know we've got plenty here, right?
Yes.
To sample and try.
And there's more coming out. And the mayor also made an announcement last week that he's doing a big push for the craft brewers in the local area to get them in public events and have more emphasis on local craft beers.
Okay. And now you do your work here at Buckhead and with Rockies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the locations that they have. And I understand you're involved in a big event this weekend.
Yes.
Right?
So the Bardstown Brew Fest is happening. Caroline Knopp helped orchestrate this. I know Schlafly is the main presenter, and we're going to have Schlafly Tasmanian IPAs, one of my favorites.
Tasmanian, now there's a good name.
There's a very good name.
Okay.
Tasmanian IPA, it's because the hop originates from Australia.
Okay.
So Tasmanian IPA is on draft. We're going to have it on feature on Saturday for $3 a pint. So you will be hard-pressed to find $3 a pint for Tasmanian IPA anywhere else.
Okay.
So
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Boo Fest. Where do I get on? Is it like a trolley hop or something, or what's
Bardstown Brew Fest? It is a day of family-friendly events. So everywhere from Mid City Mall, Value Market, they're going to have a candy maze down there. But you can stroll all the way up to our place at Gardner Lane Shopping Center. Different shops and locations will have their doors open, candy available for the kids.
Candy for the kids, beer for the adults.
Beer for the adults.
Oh, there you go. I like that.
So, yes. So we'll have some candy available. Also, our full menu will be available and $3 Schlafly's.
Okay. So you're operating out of these restaurants. Now, I understand Buckhead's and Rockies are owned by the same
people, right? They're owned by the same two gentlemen. Uh-huh.
And
we
so
are
you
local.
Work for them, and
yeah.
So you bounce around and do beer events, or do you do regular events?
Yes. So I work with them in an everyday capacity, from creating the seasonal cocktail menus and making sure their draft systems are working properly, to tap takeovers, brewery features. So tap takeovers being we'll do anywhere from 5 to 15 beers on tap from one brewery. We also do fun things like seasonal beer tours. We just got done with our Oktoberfest beer tour and our Christmas beer tour. 12 Ales of Christmas will be coming up real soon.
Wow. Yeah, it seems like beer is becoming like something that there are a lot of changes in the season. I mean, you can get beer with pumpkin in it, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Schlafly pumpkins was actually one of the better ones.
I'm not sure I want that, but I know it exists.
It does.
So
it's like drinking pumpkin pie with a little bit of alcohol.
Wow. I can just see my waistline expanding when I do that. But anyway, Tish, I'm glad you're here in Louisville, and you have such a cool job. And you know, certainly looking forward to coming out. Maybe we'll have a pumpkin beer during Boo Fest.
Well, one thing you should check out too is we have a beer app, a craft beer app. So our beer menus are actually a craft beer app that me and Wes Johnson, one of the owners, created.
Uh-huh.
You can search by local. You can search by ABV, IBUs. It'll tell you everything about beer. It'll give you beer 101 definitions.
Yes. Well, how do I find that?
So you can actually download the app on your phone, on the App Store, or on the Google Play Store if you have an Android device. But it is called Buckhead Mountain Grill. Just search for that.
Buckhead Mountain Grill. Okay.
Yes.
We'll look that up. We'll put a link to it on the website here. And thank you, Tish, for all this education on beer. Maybe I'll figure out what to order next time
I come
in here.
All right. Thank you.
And thanks very much, Tish, for talking with me. And remember, we have our first ever Rusty Satellite Show contest. If you can put the name of the beer that I said was my favorite in the subject line of an email to rick@louisvilleky.com, first one to do that who listens to this show will get a $25 gift card to Buckheads. So there you go. That's a start. We may have some other contests here in the future, but hopefully I'll hear from some of you on that. And I appreciate you listening to the Rusty Satellite Show. I want to thank Tish Ganey and also thank Sean Moth for taking a few minutes to talk to me. He's a busy guy. And It's always good to meet these kind of interesting folks that have interesting jobs here on the show. I want to tell you one thing that's coming up on Thursday, October the 22nd, I think. I have a story in Insider Louisville, and my health column is about the compassionate movement for healthcare. And it's a very interesting bit of information. I found out some cool stuff. I mean, that's basically what I do. I go out and find out about cool things that are going on and either write about them or talk about them here on the show. And that's my life, I guess. Be sure and follow my journal with my son Luke on LouisvilleKY.com. And that's it. I've got some great guests coming up. It's just a couple of weeks before the election, and next week you'll hear from somebody that's intimately involved in politics. And of course, I'll have another guest who I don't know who that is yet, but we'll come up with it. That's what it's all about here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Our guests are timely and interesting. That's the only requirement for the guest on the Rusty Satellite Show. So that's going to be it. I want to thank my sponsor, Passport Health Plan, and my good pal Nick Simon is running for state representative. Until next week, this is Rick Redding for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.